Morning.
Good to be back. Romans chapter 1, please. Do you have debt? It's a pain in the neck. Debt can be difficult, amen? It can be burdensome. It can crush even the best of people. And, of course, the way our country is driven economically, it's easy to get in debt. You can get as many credit cards as you like. Debt is a terrible thing. It's a binding thing. It's a crushing thing. But suppose I suggest to you that there is a debt that we all have, that we're supposed to have. This debt is a good thing. Some of you are going, oh boy. It's a good thing because it's right. And we're to recognize its importance in our life. It's an obligation. When you're in debt to someone, you have an obligation to pay that debt. In this debt we're talking about this morning, we have an obligation to pay the debt. Now the text we're going to look at is Romans 1, 14 through 16. Paul is writing here to the believers at Rome. He'd never seen them. He had heard of their conversion, heard of their commitment. In fact, many in Caesar's household were being saved. He had a deep desire to visit Rome, and eventually, you know, he ends up in Rome. Not to visit the believers, but to be in jail. He understood their commitment to Christ. In that Roman society, it was a wicked, godless society, materialistic. And people that were saved had to live in that circumstance, and they were not favorably treated. And so he wanted to go to Rome and meet the believers and minister there and encourage them, because he was encouraged by what he was hearing about these believers in Rome. Paul also understood his deep and certain responsibility to those in Rome who were not believers. He saw in Rome a vast city, a large metropolis. But he looked beyond the material and saw the spiritual. He not only was wanting to see those believers in Rome, but he said there are multitudes upon multitudes upon multitudes of people there who do not know the Lord Jesus. And so he was concerned. And in Romans chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul says, "Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren," speaking to those in Rome, "that oft time I purposed to come to you, but I was led hitherto." I was kept from coming. "That I might have some fruit among you also as among other Gentiles." Now listen to very carefully these words. "I am a debtor." I am a debtor. If you're a Christian, this locks you in. You can't escape this. You can't make an excuse for it. Or that's not what I'm
equipped to do. It has every hint of responsibility for every person who names the name of Christ. He said, I am a debtor. And now he describes who he owes a debt to by describing four categories of people. He says, first, I'm a debtor to Greeks. Now, when he used the word Greek, or that was used in that time, the terminology meant people who were Gentiles who spoke the Greek language fluently. They would have been refined people, probably people of some means, but they would have been unbelievers. So he said, I owe a debt to those refined Greeks. I owe a debt to them. Then he says, to the barbarians. It's an interesting word. We think of barbarians, we think somebody with a big club in his hand is going to come to your house and knock you on the head. Amen? It's a barbarian. But the word barbarian here meant foreigner. A person who may have visited Rome or traveled to Rome, was not a citizen of Rome, did not speak Greek, was from another foreign country. And they would have been unrefined. They weren't concerned about having 10 spoons and 3 forks and 9 knives at their table. They had a bowl and a hand, they were good to go. So they were considered barbarians, and he didn't leave them out. He said, not only the Greeks, these intellectual people, these people that have refined taste, but those men that come and visit who are there, that aren't refined. I owe a debt to these groups. Then he said, to the wise. This is the intellectual. Paul met with them on Mars Hill. Do you remember that? The intellectuals. Those people are smart. They are well educated. They are well versed in philosophy, music, the arts. They're the wise or formally educated. And then he says, the unwise. Now, he's not calling them stupid, but the word unwise, or this phrase unwise, means without formal education. Doesn't mean they're not educated. They don't have a formal education. They didn't go to the Harvards of the day. In essence, Paul is saying, there's not a person that crosses my path or that I'll ever run into, no matter where they're from, no matter what their strata in life, no matter what their social conscience is, I owe a debt. You can't escape the debt. You have to own the debt. As I thought about a debt, I thought of several things. First of all, number one, we owe a debt to grace. Amen? Aren't you thankful for grace? God's unmerited favor. If it were not for grace, you would not be saved. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I am constrained to be. We owe a debt to grace. I thank God that Jesus loved us enough to offer us grace. And when we come to Him by grace, we are saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We owe a debt to grace. Then we owe a debt to God. Amen. It was God who decided how this thing was going to fall out. The council of ages passed, an eternity passed. He determined what he would do and how he would do it. Though Adam fell and plunged the human race into sin, God's plan did not stop. He made a way. Eventually that way worked its way down to a little town called Nazareth. Christ was born of a virgin, lived 33 years on this earth, walked, talked, taught, did one miracle after another, loved others, and went to a cross and died. And that was all in the plan of God. We owe a debt to God. Then I think we owe a debt to one another. You know, what Wayne said perfectly fits here. What would we do without our brothers and sisters in Christ? You know they're praying for you. You know they're going to God for you. You know that God's leading them to do so. But more importantly than that, you are united one as one body. And I owe a debt to Wayne. I owe a debt to others. You owe a debt to me. We owe a debt to one another. And it's all because of the goodness of God that brought us here. Amen? Then I think one other thing. And none of this is a sermon, but I hope it's helpful. We owe a debt to those who are lost. I don't care how you measure this or how you divide it or how you view it. You owe a debt to people that are lost. Everybody here does. 90% of the people you cross paths with every day probably don't know Christ. And we owe a debt to them. And Paul saw this debt. It was consuming him. I'm not talking about knocking on doors. I'm not talking about handing a tract, although those things can be done. I'm talking about deep in your heart. Is there a passion that's about to burst out of you that says, I must share the gospel? I must share the gospel. Let me just give you the message real quickly. Number one, I want you to notice our duty. Verse 14 gives us our duty. Four words. I am debtor. I am a debtor. This statement is not meant to convey one of many duties, but it's a sacred obligation that he's wanting to reveal here. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Why? Duty demands it. Number one, it's a binding duty. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. We're to go into the world and preach the gospel. Mark chapter 16, go into the world and preach the gospel. Acts 1:8, when we receive power from the Spirit of God, we're to go and preach the gospel. Every book in the New Testament gospels, at the end of Christ's life, he mentions mission. Our mission, our mission, our mission to preach the gospel, to share the gospel, to give the gospel, to produce fruit. It's a binding duty. You can't escape it. You can't explain it away. You can't say you're too busy. It's a duty. And it's an absolute obligation. It's binding. Number two, it's sacred. Your duty is a sacred duty. It's a spiritual principle, not a secular principle. It must be done in order to see the lost transformed. God didn't decide any other way to do it but this way. He made a plan whereby you could be saved. Aren't you glad you got saved? Now guess who he chose to deliver that message to others? You and I. It must be done in order for others to see Christ and be transformed by the power of God. This isn't a secular endeavor. It's a sacred endeavor, and it must be kept sacred. When you go out in the morning, you go out in the evening, you go out in the afternoon. When you go to work, you go to shop, you go to school. It doesn't matter where you are. You are bound under an obligation, a sacred duty to help others see the Christ of the Gospels. Not only is it a binding duty, a sacred duty, it's a lifetime duty. Amen? From the moment you become a child of God until God calls you home, this is your duty. It's your duty. Do you realize if each one of us decided sometime this year, the rest of this year, sometime during the rest of these months that we have in 2021, if we decided that we would accept this challenge, see this duty, and would then, as God opened the opportunity, we would share with someone, just one, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and see them come to Christ, it would change you, and it would change their life forever. Forever. We have a duty. Secondly, this passage, I think, tells us we have a commitment. Paul says, I am ready. I like that phrase. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to them that are in Rome also. I am ready. Well, Pastor, I don't have any formal education. That doesn't matter. I've never went to a soul winning class. It's a misnomer anyhow. Should not be a soul-winning class. It's not a class you take. It's an obligation you have. I don't speak very well. Neither did Moses. Paul said, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. With every fiber of my being, with all that I have, Paul was committed. You and I must decide if we will stand on the line and take up the commitment and say, I'm going to be committed. And I think in four ways. Number one, it's an inward commitment, driven by the heart, moved by the Spirit of God. Inwardly, You know, I would love to tell you that I always do what's right. I'd love to tell you that, but I'd be lying. I don't always do what's right. I make mistakes. I don't get up every morning saying, I love Jesus. I don't. But there's something inside of me that wants to know him more, that want to love him more, a passion for him that should drive my heart to want others to have the same passion. It's an inward driven heart that says, I want to commit to this. I am ready. It's an inward commitment. I am ready. It's an outward commitment to those who need to hear. Just speaking the truth in love. Just telling those who need to hear. It's not how smart you are. It's not even how many verses you know. It's just that you know something in your heart that they don't have. You like them to have the same thing in their heart. Amen? And it's just simply saying, could I share my heart? Could I tell you what my heart is saying? Could I let you know? It's an inward commitment. It's an outward commitment. I think it's an upward commitment to God who saved us and Christ who died for us. If God was good enough to save me, kind enough to save me, generous enough to save me, should I not want others to meet him? Shouldn't I want those that I call friends who do not know him to meet him? Should I not want those who are related to me who don't know him to meet him? Shouldn't that be a driving thing in my life? Absolutely. Then fourthly, it's a downward commitment. Listen very carefully to me. By that I mean those lost ones who have died that you didn't share the gospel with. Now listen very carefully to me. I'm not blaming you for their death. That's nonsense. Years ago, a lady called me up at the phone and said, Pastor, I'm not a member of your church, but we used to live in your area. My husband's in the hospital dying. Could you go to the hospital and talk with him and tell him about Jesus? I said, yeah, I'll go. Well, I meant to go that day, but I didn't go. The next day passed and I didn't go. I finally went on the third day and I walked into the room. There were three or four other people in the room, and my worry about them being there silenced my mouth. And I didn't share with him the gospel. I sat with him. I had small talk with him. But I did not tell him about Jesus. I went back to my office, and the next day I got a call from that lady. She said, Pastor, did you get to see my husband? I said, I did. Before I could say I didn't have a chance to tell him, she said, "Did you tell him? Did you tell him about Jesus?" I said, "No." She said, "He died this morning." He died this morning. That left an indelible mark on my heart that said to me, there should not be a day go by if you have an opportunity to share the gospel that you don't open your mouth and tell others about the gospel. Paul said, "I have a duty. I have a commitment." Then one last thing he said, I make an affirmation. Now listen very carefully. If you do not see your obligation, listen very carefully to this. If you do not see your obligation, there will be no commitment. Without a commitment, there will be no affirmation. Each drives the other. Your obligation drives your commitment. Your commitment drives your affirmation. You'll never make this affirmation if you're not obligated, if you don't see your duty. Here's his affirmation, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. When you admit your obligation and the commitment to your responsibility, you will be able to make this affirmation to an unsaved crowd, an unashamed, unfettered witness for Jesus Christ. Paul was driven by a passion so deep and so powerful that nothing would keep him from sharing the gospel, nothing. He was not ashamed because he knew it could change lives. Amen? He met Christ on the Damascus Road in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, and it changed his life. In fact, it changed him completely, who he was from Saul to Paul. It is the power of God. He was not ashamed because he knew it could change lives. He was not ashamed because it was a divine work. If it's me trying to figure out how to do it, I could get ashamed of that because I'm so limited in how I would approach things. But if it's a divine work, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Amen? Well, people might get upset. That's okay. You're not trying to make them upset. But if they get upset, they're not getting upset with you. They're getting upset with their own spirit that says they need Christ and they're fighting that. It's not man-made religion or a philosophical crutch. It's a supernatural work that made sinners saints, all God's people said. And one third thing, he was not ashamed because it is a powerful message. The Bible says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. These kind of sermons are not fun sermons. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. That's silly. What I'm trying to make you see is this obligation is absolutely ours. You willingly came to Christ and received him as your Savior. Now, because of that, you have taken on a responsibility, an obligation
to tell others about Jesus. However that falls out, you're to tell others about Jesus. Whoever that falls out to, you're to tell others about Jesus.
This wonderful thing must remove sin and at the same time meet the just requirements of a righteous God. It must turn fallen men from darkness to light. And folks, that only happens by the power of God. It's interesting, Ephesians says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen? Not your own strength. But it's a wonderful thing to know that God has said to you and I, you owe a debt. Are you willing to pay it? Lord, help us to see our debt, commit to a responsibility to fulfill it. Each day as we walk on your earth, Father, open opportunities for us. And may we see some come to Christ and see their lives supernaturally changed by the power of God. Lord, make it so. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I feel compelled to ask this. How many would say, Pastor, I need to have that obligation. I need to have that duty. I need to make it my duty. Would you pray for me that God will help me make it my duty? If you're in this room and that you're willing to make that commitment, would you just slip your hands up, please? Just as high as you can raise them, please. You're going to make it your duty. Thank you so much. Father, bless this time. May Christ be seen in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.